Morning. Today's daf Nerchin is Chav Beis. We're starting the new pack this morning. This week's daf is sponsored by the Skashel family, Zecher Nishmas David Ben Yosef, Alex's father-in-law, Neshama Shav and Aliyah. We are starting with the new parak Shema Yisomim. We are on the Mishnah on Chav Alef Amud Beis, and the Mishnah over here is going to be starting a discussion about coming and seizing property for outstanding obligations. Okay, so for the mortgage brokers out there, okay, so this will be an exciting parak as we're going to be discussing what Basin is going to do in order to collect debt. So the Mishnah over here describes now an auctioning process. Basically, as we all know, every time you owe a debt and it's a documented loan. So we, of course, know the halacha is that there's a shiba, there's a lien created on the property. And so now the property is going to be mortgaged against the loan. So in the event that you are defaulting on your obligation, so now because there's a mortgage on your property, so obviously that property is going to be served as a collection against the loan. Okay, I know it's obvious for those of you who own a home or in any kind of business business situation, but nevertheless, so nothing has changed much in this regard. This halacha takes us back to the Mishnayos and the Gemara, and many Rishonim are of the opinion, the Gemara is not going to use this terminology today, but shibud d'oraisa, meaning that this is a din d'oraisa, the idea that your property is serving as a way of securing a loan, and that collection can come from a property, so that's already something which is encoded in the Torah. So it's a very basic idea that property is going to be serving as a security against the loan. What we're going to be discussing in the course of today's daf is the following. The majority of our discussion today is going to be talking about where Rachmanis, right now the owners of that debt are going to be orphans. And what are we going to do in terms of the property of the orphans? On one hand, there is somebody who's owed money. On the other hand, these are children, and these are children without a father. And they obviously have no idea about their father's business dealings, and what do we do regarding the collection of the debt from the children. That'll be the majority of our daf today, but we're not going to start. We actually are going to start there. Sorry, I take it back. But we're going to talk a little bit about Hektish today. And just one other introductory note before we start with the Mishnah, and that is as follows. Tosfos makes this point. It's the last Tosfos on the Amun Chafalf Amud Beis, but we're going to talk a lot about auctioning off properties. And the reason why you want to auction off a property in general is because you want to get the best money for that property. And so generally speaking, what auctions do is that auctions generate the most exciting price and the highest price. And from a standpoint of the one who owns the debt, so the creditor, so obviously he wants the property to fetch the best value possible. But at the same time, however, auctions are long and they're a little bit tedious and they're time consuming. And so you can imagine that at the same time, from a creditor standpoint, like, am I going to have to wait another 2 months in order for me to collect my debt? Like, I'd like it right now. So Tosfos makes this point, and it's kind of an intuitive point, and but Tosfos makes it on the bottom of the Amud. Let's say, for example, the Malva. So the creditor says, you know what? He owes me the money. He's defaulted on the loan. I really need the money. How much do you say the appraised value of the property is? Good, I'll take it. And done. And pretty much the discussion is over. If he's happy, if he's content with the price that the Basin gives as the first appraisal of that property, so then we don't have to go any further. We don't have to go for an auction. But in the event, however, that the creditors are not happy with the price, or they just simply want to see if they can get more, so we go through an auction process. And what we're going to be discussing in the course of our Mishnah and our Gemara today is going to be how the auction process actually works. Shema Yisomim. So now the Mishnah starts off that when it comes to the appraisal of orphans, so shloshim yom, so it's going to be for 30 days. Now, as Tosfos over here points out, the first Tosfos on the perek, it's not, this halacha is not limited to orphans, meaning we're talking about how an auction works. And so as far as an auction works, so it would be true by any creditor. Anytime a creditor comes and wants to collect his loan and it's outstanding and the borrower defaulted on the loan, so then under all these circumstances, we're going to go through an auction, and the auction is going to be 30 days, like our Mishnah is saying over here. And there is nothing unique in this regard regarding an orphan, meaning the auction process is the auction process. It's the same process throughout. Tosfos points out that our mission over here is focusing on the Yisomim because of the contrast, meaning that, as we'll see in just a moment in our Mishnah, when it comes to Hektish collecting, so for Hektish collecting, it's going to be a 60-day auction. So one could imagine that the standard auction may be 30 days, but we know there are exceptions. Like, for example, Hektesh, it's 60 days. So one might have entertained the idea that for orphans, maybe orphans are going to be slided to the category of Hektesh, and therefore their auctions should also go for 60 days. So that's why the Mishnah over here is talking about orphans, but Hu Adin, the same halacha would be true, even if we're talking about just a standard auction for a standard creditor. Shumi Yisomim, as it relates to the, I'm just starting again from the beginning of the Mishnah. So Shumi Yisomim, so when it comes to the assessment and the appraisal for orphans, Shloshim Yom, the auction process is 30 days. Vishama Hektesh, Shishim Yom. Now, if Hektesh is coming to collect an outstanding debt, so for them, the auction is going to be for 60 days. Umachrizim Bavokar Va'erev. Now, in terms of making announcements, so the auction is going to be publicly declared in the morning and the evenings. Why those times? So stay tuned, the Gemara is going to explain. Maishan Baboker Ve'erev, the Gemara is going to explain right now. You don't have to wait that long. So the Gemara starts off, why morning in the evening? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav B'shahu Tzas Po'olim, B'shah Sechnasas Po'olim. When the workers go out and the workers come in. A little bit unclear exactly going out to work or going out home. Tosus over here, it takes a very strong position on this matter. Second Tosus on the Amud. And he says that when we're talking about Hotzah, we mean with the time they leave work and they're going home. And the Hachnasa means when they come back in terms of when they go to work. And you'll see why Tosos is very adamant that this is the correct way to read the Mishnah. I should say, rather, the Gemara. B'shas Hotzas Po'alim De'ika D'nichel Mezben Amru Po'alim Izilu Sairu La Nihali B'shas, I'm sorry, Nihali, comma. So in terms of Hotzas Po'alim, and again, according to Tosos, this means that when they're leaving the work, so the employer says as follows. Look, do me a favor, right? I heard of a property being auctioned off. Could you do me a favor on your way home? Go by the property, check out the property, tell me what you think. And then b'shas achnasas po'alim, and then when the workers come into work the next day, again, I'm reading it like Tosfos, so then denitka da'amar luhu nezel nishayle. And so next morning as they go into work, good morning, how are you? Remember the property I asked you to look at? Do me a favor, tell me how did it in fact look? The reason why Tosfos is so adamant that this is the right way to read the Gemara is because if you flip it around, meaning it's hard to imagine the employer is going to ask the worker as he's coming into work, hey, do me a favor, take a look at that property. In other words, he's coming into work, right? The last thing he wants him to do right now is to take a little bit of a stroll in terms of looking at a property, meaning on your way home, on your own time, so you'll take a look at the property and tell me how it looks. Okay. The Gemara quotes the Braisa, Shem Yisom, Shoshim Yom, Vishom HaHektesh, Shoshim Yom. So as far as an assessment for the orphans, it's going to be 30 days, meaning the auction is going to go for 30 days. And Hektish collecting, it's going to be 60 days. And here the Braisa says it as clear as day, pun intended. As clear as day, Babokar Va'erev, B'shas Rosas Po'alim, B'shas Achnasas Po'alim. When the workers leave work and when the workers come into work the next morning. Omer, and the conversation sounds exactly like this. Sade ploni, besimaneha uve mitzareha. So, you know, that field, in other words, he specifies which field he's talking about. And this is the markers. And these are the borders. Kachi yafe v'kachi shuma. This is how much it produces. Yafe, meaning literally how nice it is. But again, the niceness of a field is productivity. This is what it's going to produce. And this is how much it is appraised for. Now, again, that's a funny language. This is how much it's appraised for, meaning we're auctioning it. What do you mean, this is how much it's appraised for? So, again, I go back to a point that I made in the introduction, and that is that there is a original presented appraised price. Meaning, Basin is going to throw out a number at the beginning. The whole purpose of the auction is maybe to fetch a little bit more above what is the original suggested price. So, v'kach yishuma, kol arotza li kach yavo v'yikach, amanas v'yikach, and anyone who wants to can come and can take. So in other words, this is the announcement that's made during the 30-day auction, or for Hektesh 60 days. And then, as part of the auction, we're also talking about why we're auctioning off the property, and we're giving specific reasons. Either a woman needs to get paid her ksuva, right? Death or divorce of the husband. So under those circumstances, a woman is entitled to her ksuva. She is holding the mortgage against the property. And so now the property is being sold off for the woman. So there, that would be one reason why we'd be auctioning the property. Or a b'chova socho. B'chova. Or maybe it's just simply a creditor, right? The property owner has defaulted on his loan. And now the debt's outstanding. And the creditor wants his money. And so the creditor needs to get paid. The obvious question, which hopefully you're wondering, is why exactly are we spelling out why the property is getting auctioned? Meaning, when all said and done, what do we care? We just simply want the best price that we could fetch. So hold that thought, because the Gemara is going to ask that question. Gemara is going to ask that question right now. So why is it that we also are outlining in the announcements why it is that we are selling off the property? And specifically, who's going to be the recipient of the collections? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because if people hear that it is a creditor who's going to get paid with it, so creditors, so they typically are businessmen. And so over here, they're lending money. Although, again, when I say businessman, if it's Jew to Jew, so there's no interest. But still, in other words, if we're talking about a standard creditor, so as far as he's concerned, so him, he's always moving money around. So for him, if the money is a little bit, now the Gemara's language is mekel bezuze. If the money's a little bit lighter in this case meaning that it's some of the coins are broken, chipped, not the best coins in the world. As far as the Malva is concerned, he doesn't care. And so as far as a person who is one of the considerations, well, the coins that I have right now are not in the best shape. Should I be the one buying this property? So if once you hear that the one who's collecting for this property is going to be the Bachov, so yeah, good. Okay, good. He'll take this money. And Igad the Nichalei Beisha Deshakla Yada Yad. And as far as a woman getting paid for Iksuva, so women are open to a payment plan. And so since women are open to a payment plan, meaning they're not going to be in the position where they need all this money at one point in time, they're open to an idea of getting paid over the course of time. So if you're in a position right now where you hear that, you'll say, look, I'll pay a little bit more for the property, but at the same time, however, I could pay over the course of time. So then that would that may influence his decision to pay a little bit more for the property. Okay, so again, all this auctioning and announcing is to be able to fetch the best price for this property.
Who has priority?
When you say who? In terms of the auction?
The wife or the...
Oh, that's. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a... The Gemara today is not going to discuss it in terms of who the order. Generally speaking, first one in, right? In other words, just like first mortgage, second mortgage. So that's generally speaking how it works in terms of order of who's going to receive. Here in these examples that the Gemara gave, it's not that there's both. We're just simply announcing who is going to be receiving the collections for this sale. Tanu Rabbanan, we are at the top of Chav Beis Amud Aleph. Shema Yisam Shoshim Yom, V'Shema Ek Tishishim Yom, Divrei Meir. So it's going to be a brisa, and it's going to, again, go over the length of time that we're auctioning. And there are going to be three opinions in this brisa. The first opinion of Rav Meir sounds familiar, because it's exactly like our Mishnah. For an orphan, it's going to be a 30-day auction. For Hektish, a 60-day auction. Rabbi Yehuda Amir, Shema Yisam Shishim Yom, V'Shema Hektish Tishim Yom. According to Rabbi Yehuda, 60 days for an orphan, 90 days for Hektish. And according to the Chachamim, both for orphans and for Hekdesh, it's going to be a 60-day auction. Okay, three opinions on the matter. Amar Rav Chista, Amar Avimi, Halach Hashem Yisam Shishin Yom. So, Rav Chista cites, in the name of Avimi, the halacha is that for orphans, it's going to be a 60-day auction. And it's not what we learned in our Mishnah. Yosef Rabbi Chia Bar Avin V'Kamar La'ashmaita Amar Le'Rav Nachma Yitzchak Le'Rabbi Chia Bar Avin Shishim Kamart. Oshlushim kamart. Can we please clarify? 60-day auction or 30-day auction? So Amalei Shishim. He says, I said it the first time, I'll say it again. It's a 60-day auction. Do you sum him ode hektish? Are you talking about collections, selling a property from an orphan? Or are you talking about from hektish? Amalei, do you sum him? No, I'm talking about you sum him. So Karebi Meir, Karebi Huda. Are you following like Karebi Meir or are you following like Karebi Huda? Amalei Karebi Meir. If I'm following like Karebi Meir. So now, if you go back to the Brisa, it doesn't check out. Meaning, in the Brisa, what we learned, and also it's our Mishnah, and we assume our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir, Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir, that for the Yisomim it's 30 days. And so now he is convinced that it's 60 days for Yisomim, like Rabbi Meir, doesn't check out. Vaha Rabbi Meir, Shoshim Kamar, now Rabbi Meir says 30 days. Amarle Hachi Amar, Chista Me'avime Kupe Tabe Balai Allah. So, this is what Rav Chista taught me. And that is that I received multiple welts based on this halacha. In other words, I was in shiur and I said it over and I didn't say it correctly, and so I got a little bit of a correction, and the hashmaita. So in other words, what the Gemara is now about to teach us is it's 30 days, but sometimes 30 days can in fact be 60 days. How does that work exactly? So it goes like this. So let's say there are two ways to do the auction. And we're talking about Yisrael. Remember, we're holding like Rav Meir. In other words, but even within one shita, there still is two ways to do an auction. One way to do an auction is for 30 days where the announcement is going to be done every single day. Now, and Shabbos, kind of hard to imagine. In the way, if we're going to do but doing it every day, so hard to imagine. But still, I'll say every day, and I could just add under my breath, minus Shabbos. But we'll do it every day for 30 days. And then there's another way of doing it. And that is doing it for 60 days, but not announcing every single day. But rather just limiting the announcements to Monday and Thursday. So b'shini v'chamishi shishim. Now, doing it on Mondays and Thursdays for 60 days, meaning 60 days in total, but just on in those total days, just on Monday and Thursday. Now, if you do the math, and Rashi does all the math for us, then you can check out the Rashi. I'm not going to go through it inside. It comes out, Rashi comes out to 18. So the ve'afa gav dechichashav lu'amar li'yoma hachrez alohave ela tamnei sar yomei. So it comes out to a total of only 18 announcements. Kevin demashcha milsa shame inshe. But nevertheless, though, it is spread out over a longer period of time. And so, in a question where I don't think there's a right answer, what would you prefer? An auction where the announcements are done consecutively for 30 consecutive days, or where it's drawn out over a longer period of time for 60 days, but only announced on Mondays and Thursdays, where it comes out to only 18 times? Okay, and again, pros and cons in favor of which way to go. Who gets to arbitrate which path we're going to take? The Gemara does not make that point clear, but still there are two ways to do it. And so we're both right. Meaning the Mishnah says that according to Rav Meir, the auction is going to be done for 30 days. That's when it's done on consecutive days. The Braisa, or I should say better, Avimi and Rav Chista, when they are insistent that according to Rav Meir, it's 60 days, that's when you're going with the more long drawn out auction process, where actually it's over a longer period of time, but less actual days in which it is going to be auctioned. Mondays and Thursdays, by the way, Rashi points that over here, Shehem Yemei Hadin. So those are days where the courts get together. And so there's more activity and the courts actually get out there on Mondays and Thursdays and try cases on Mondays and Thursdays. So therefore, it comes out to there's just more popular days in which to announce.
The land doesn't have any residual
kedusha. Well, again, there are two cases in the Mishnah. One is where we're collecting for creditors because the father died and there were outstanding loans. That's one case in the Mishnah. The second case in the Mishnah is Hekdesh. Those are two separate cases. The Gemara's discussion right now is talking about the Yisomim. No Hekdesh involved. Now, from this point going forward, really for the rest of the daf today, the discussion is going to revolve around the following. Rachmanus, the father, died, leaving over orphans and orphan children. And so the children obviously have no expectation to know what their father's dealings were, and any of the business ventures that the father went into, and any of the outstanding loans that the father may in fact have had. And so the father's leaving an estate, and so now, as a general rule, we don't want to now sell off the properties of the children in this condition. Because right now, the children don't know, the children can't fend for themselves, and yes, you probably heard of something called an apotropos, and we'll talk about that later in today's daf, but still, when all said and done, right now, the children have just inherited an estate, and if somebody takes it at this point in time when the children are just children, and so it obviously is, it would be a very difficult position on behalf of the children. On top of that, we also want to protect the interests of the children. On the other hand, right, at the very same time, we also have to take into consideration that there is somebody who is owed money. And so under these circumstances, so what position do we generally take? So the position that we generally take is freeze. No properties are going to be sold, no properties are going to be moved. Yes, there's a person who's owed money, and that's a very uncomfortable position to be in. But the general position is hold everything in check until the children grow up and they're able to understand and advocate on their own behalf. Okay. With that stated, however, what we're going to be doing for the rest of the daf today is we're going to be discussing there are scenarios where we're going to have to sell the property. Even though right now they're children, but we're going to just simply have to sell off the properties, and we will be discussing for the rest of the day today what are those circumstances in which we're going to be selling off the properties, and the question which obviously needs to be dealt with is what are we concerned with? Meaning if somebody's there, and remember right now, we're talking about somebody's holding a note. He's a note holder against the property. What are we concerned about in terms of why we wouldn't sell off the property to satisfy the obligation of the father? Okay, all that to be discussed in the rest of today's daf today. Rav Yehuda's position is that the only time that we will be dealing with the property of children, orphan children, is only if there is it's an interest-bearing loan. Because now, if it's an interest-bearing loan, so that means to say that the more time that we wait in order to pay, the more the interest accrues, and so therefore we'll sell it now. Because interest is just going to kill you. It's going to kill the children financially. And so sell the property right now. And even though we don't want to sell the property of children, but when you take interest into consideration, sell it now. Rav Yochanan Now Rav Yochanan adds another case in which we're going to sell off the property of the children. Yes, he agrees in the case of interest, it's if it's an interest-bearing loan, so then you will sell the property right now. And if it's ksuvas isha, so there as well you're going to be selling off the property. Ksuvas isha means as follows. In this case, we're talking about where there's a widow, obviously. He died. He's left orphan children. At the same time now, there's also a widow. The widow has a ksuva, and that ksuva allows her now to collect a lump sum payment because her husband has died, and that's part of the ksuva obligation. And so now, one is allowed to sell off the ksuva right away. Sorry. We'll sell the property right away in satisfaction of the ksuva. Why? Mishum mezone. Because here's what we know. We know that as part of the ksuva agreement between a husband and a wife, so she's going to get supported. Now, obviously, she's going to get supported while she's alive, but that's, yes, part of the ksuva contract, but also because the Torah says so. That's part of she'er ksuva ona, that she's going to get supported while she's alive. But we also know that as part of the ksuva contract obligation, the estate is also going to support her as well. And so this is what's called mezonos. Now, it's also true, and this is something to keep in mind, the Gemara is going to make mention of this, that there is a quid pro quo when it comes to the ksuva. It's true that she is going to get supported when her husband's alive and even after her husband has died. And by the way, that food support will continue up to, but only up to, where she gets her ksuva payment. Once she gets the lump sum ksuva payment, so then the mezonos no longer is going to be provided for her. So, there's one more thing to take into consideration, which is that in response to her receiving mezonos, any earnings that she earns is going to go to her husband, or if the estate is paying her mezonos, is going to go to the estate. So, in exchange for the mezonos that she receives, her maisi yadayim, her earnings are going to go to the husband or to the estate. So the truth of the matter is, mezonos is not as bad as interest, because interest is only one directional. In other words, if the loan is an interest-bearing loan, so that means that over the course of time, more money is going to be accrued because of the interest. When it comes to mezonos, it's not super clear. In other words, yes, it's true, the estate has to pay the mezonos of the widow, but at the same time, they're also receiving earnings of the widow as well. Already, you could figure out that they don't necessarily have to match. In other words, the mezonos is going to go in her direction. She needs to eat every single day, right? That's what I've, you know, it's been reported. And at the same time, however, she doesn't have to work, and she may not be earning. And even if she does work, her earnings may not match her mezonos. So it may not cancel each other out. So with all that in mind, so the Gemara now is going to explain. Ravasi, my time alohama l'ksuvas isha. So why isn't Rav Asi including Ksuvas Isha as a cause to sell the property right away? So he answers very simply, Da'ata kinole rabbana maisi adaha. So because of the maisi adayim, meaning is what I just explained, that because her earnings are going to go back to the estate, so there's an exchange. Yes, the estate is going to be paying her mezonos, but at the same time, her earnings are going to go back to the estate. V'idach zimun de lo safka. Now the counter argument, and this is why Rav Yochanan disagrees, is because that's true, but it may not be a match. Her earnings may not be a match in terms of her mezonos. Her mezonos may be exceeding her earnings. And so therefore, once again, if we let this just linger and the estate is paying the mezonos and the mezonos are exceeding the maisi adayim, so now the kids are going to be losing money. So so the counter argument, Rav Yochanan's argument is, sell off the property right away, even though they're children. Let's take care of the mezonos. And again, just to be clear, how is selling off the property going to be a solution? Because Once you sell the property and once you pay her lump sum tsufa payment, so mezonos now has come to an end. Okay? Tanan.
That's a procedure for right away selling. If one would say right away, well, what do they do?
So you're going to go with the auction.
For 30 days or, yeah. Or just...
The 30-day auction. Okay. Tanan shema yisam shoshim yom. Vishum hektish shishim yom. We learned on a Mishnah that for an orphan's 30-day auction, for hektish it's 60-day auction. An announcement during the morning and in the evening. Now, b'mayiskina, now, after having learned the Mishnah together, what exactly is the case? Now, we're talking about a creditor. So as far as the creditor is concerned, so let's imagine how this conversation is going. If the creditor is a non-Jew, so the creditor is a non-Jew who now is a note holder against the estate, against the children, and... Let's see how this works. Do me a favor. I know it's an interest-bearing loan, but could you at least suspend the interest for just a month so that while we're doing the auction? Now, if he's a very nice person, if he's a generous person, so he'll say fine. On the other hand, it's within his right to say no, meaning your father borrowed money from me. Your father accepted an interest-bearing loan. As far as I'm concerned, interest continues to accrue. He doesn't have to listen, meaning it's for sure a very serious petition, and you're asking on behalf of orphans, and if he has a heart, he would say yes, but if just from a business standpoint, he doesn't have to say yes. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're not talking about a non-Jew, we're talking about a Jew. So the Gemara says, yeah, but then it's not an interest-bearing loan. And even if it is an interest-bearing loan, so then Basin is going to say, well, that was illegal. You're not allowed to charge interest to another Jew. So, you're charging interest to another Jew? They're not going to have to pay interest. It's you're not allowed to charge interest. Period. So the ella deloka achal ribise. So the Gemara says we're talking about where there's no interest. V'ktanin is kaken. And so now we've just figured out that assuming that the lender is a Jew and there's no interest and we're selling off the properties, how does that work? We just learned that we don't sell the properties unless it's an interest-bearing loan. So as far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, the solution is very simple. We're not talking about a creditor, we're talking about a widow. Now for the widow, because of her mezonos, so we're going to be selling off the property. So we know what the case of the Mishnah is. But Ella Ravasi Kasha, but according to Ravasi, where Ravasi does not allow for the selling of the property for a widow, but only for a creditor, but we haven't figured it out. Who's the creditor? If it's a non-Jew, he's not going to listen. And if it's a Jew, so he can't charge interest. So what are we talking about? So Amalecha Ravasi, L'Rav Yochanan, Minicha. Now Ravasi says, now as far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, he's not so comfortable with the Mishnah. I know you said he was, he's not so comfortable. Mishavkina Mizona Devada Kamafsara, Vinakina Nachraza, Deloya Diinan, I Mavarchinan, Ilo Mivarchinan. So as far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, let's consider. As far as Mizonas is concerned, so Vada Kamafsara. So in other words, if we sell off the property, we are going, we may gain and we may not gain. Meaning, remember, there already is a suggested retail price of the land. The only reason why we're doing the auction is because we may fetch more, but that's an important word. We only may fetch more. We may not fetch more. And so, and when it comes to mezonos, again, like I reported earlier, she's got to eat every single day. And so the mezonos are going to be taken and depleted from her every single day. So I don't understand. So over here, we're going to now extend another 30 days, where for sure the estate's going to lose out because of mezonos. And we may not even be gaining from this because, again, the auction only may get a better price. But we don't know for sure. So the Gemara says, Halo kasha b'tavas k'zovas ha-bebeisin. So the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you why it is that we could still learn that the case is k'suvas isha, because she demands her k'suva. And here's the halacha. We learned this in k'suvas. We're repeating it now. The halacha is that when does she get mezonos? Until her ksuva is paid off, or until she demands her ksuva. The moment that she demands her ksuva payment, so obviously it's a legitimate demand, she's entitled to it, she is a note holder, but at that point in time, when she demands her ksuva, she no longer gets mezonos. So we're talking about a case where she's demanding her ksuva. So k'd Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, d'am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, tavas ksuva ksuvasa, v'beisin ein la mezonos. When she goes to court and she says, okay, I'm ready for my ksuva payment, I'm demanding my ksuva payment. Again, it's a legitimate demand, but from that point going forward, she no longer gets her mezonos. So, So the Gemara says, well, okay, so once she demanded her ksuva and she's no longer getting mezonos, so why are we selling the property? We don't have to sell the property now. In other words, mezonos is no longer depleting the estate. So the Gemara says, but, and I'm sure you thought about this, it's just, it's not fair. Meaning, Ela kevin des dekin lai b'yikarim is dekin lai b'sof. No. If she's demanding her ksuva, and we're no longer paying her ksuva, or paying her mezonos, so that means then that we have to sell off the property. So fine. So according to Rav Yochanan, so we understand the case of the Mishnah. Because the case of the Mishnah is talking about ksuvas isha. Fine. But mikamakam l'ravasi kashi, but according to Ravasi, we're allowing the sale of the land of the children for creditors. Now for creditors, again, I'll reset the question. If it's a non-Jew, he's not going to listen to you if you're asking for a 30-day abeyance of interest. And if it's a Jew, he has no right to charge interest. There's so what's the case of the Mishnah? So la'olam di is daki la'olam ve'bal chov ovekochavim shekiba alav adam b'din Yisrael. So the Gemara says that we're talking about a non-Jew and it's an interest-bearing loan and he has a right to charge interest. And so we're selling off a property in order to cut the interest, to stop the interest. And the reason why the non-Jew is going to be listening, as you are now asking him to go through the auction process, is because you asked him, do me a favor, would you be open to the idea of going to Jewish court? And he said, yeah, I have no problem with that. I'll get my money? Okay, fine, no problem at all. So he haches ribis nami lo lishko. So the Gemara says, okay, well, if he's ready to go to Jewish court and he's ready to go through the auction process, so can we also ask him to put a hold on the interest for 1 month? So the Gemara says, no, shekibal lav lezev lo kibal lav lezu. Yeah, you want to go through the auction processing, you want to go to the Jewish court? I'm fine with that. You want to stop the interest? Settle down. Meaning, it's an interest. I'm not losing money because of that. I'll go through the Jewish court and I'll go through the auction process that you Jewish people go through. I'll do all that. But I'm not going to stop the interest. And so now you understand how it is now that we need to sell off the property as quickly as possible in order to suspend or stop, I should say better, the interest that's accruing. Tashma, the Gemara continues along the discussion of Rav Asi versus Rav Yochanan. Now, in terms of collecting from the estates of children, of orphans, so you only collect from Zibaris. There are three grades of property. Properties get graded either as prime, middle, or the worst. Okay, I know it's not that simple, but those are the three grades. Right? In the bond market, they all get graded. Okay, so the grading system over here is A, B, and C. The best land is what's called Adis. The middle land is Beninus, and the worst land is Zibaris. And in other words, how are you grading it? It's based on productivity and how well the land is able to produce. So anyway, so lands get graded. When it comes to the receiving collections from an estate that is right now held by orphans, so there you go only from the Zibaris. Now, generally speaking, when it comes to a Bachov collects from Beninus. But again, over here with the consideration that right now it is land taken away from an estate, and the principal bar is no longer here, so Zibaris. Now, again, the Gemara says, what are we talking about? So if we're talking about where the creditor is a non-Jew, so as far as he's concerned, in other words, that's very nice that you have your legal system. As far as I'm concerned, I'm owed the money, and generally speaking, we get paid with mid-grade property or better property. Meaning, I'm not going to your court system. So the Gemara says we're talking about a Bachov Yisrael. Again, if the creditor is a Jew, there's no interest. So we could just simply put everything on hold. We don't have to sell off the property. So Ela de lo achel ribisa v'ketanin is gaken. And so there's no interest. And meanwhile, we're selling off the property. How do you make sense of that? So Bishlam the Rav Yochanan mukalabik sivasisha. So as far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, again, he always has an answer because he also allows the sale of property for the ksuva of a woman. So for Rav Yochanan's standpoint, he can just plug in that the creditor in question over here is a widow who wants to collect her ksuva. So Ella Rav Asi Kasha, but according to Rav Asi, where the only time you can sell off properties for a creditor, but again, what case are we talking about? If it's a Jew, there's no interest. If it's a non-Jew, he doesn't care what our laws are. So Amlecha Rav Asi L'Rav Yochanan Minicha Iksivas My Irya Miyasme Afilamine Didei Nami Vizabars. Now the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you what, for Rav Yochanan, I don't think he would be satisfied with his explanation, because for Ksuvas Isha, you only have to collect from Ziboris. You do not collect from Beinonis. So halakasha Reb Meir hidam rekzuvas isha bebeinu sumi yasme vizibar. So the Gemara says, well, not everyone agrees to that. Notably, Reb Meir. Reb Meir is of the position that if you are collecting, if a woman's collecting a ksuva from the husband, i.e., it's a divorce, so then she collects beinonis. If she's collecting from the somim, so then it's zibaris. So that means that according to Reb Meir, it actually does make a difference whether or not a creditor is collecting from the principal or a woman's collecting from the orphans. So mekom mekom la ravasi kashe, but it's still going to be difficult for ravasi. So again, we're going to go back to the answer that we suggested earlier. We're talking about a case where it's a non-Jew who is going and abiding by the Jewish court. So the halacha is namin lo nishkel. So the Gemara says, okay, so can't we just simply ask him, take a month off of from the interest? Can we go 1 month interest free, allowing time for the auctioning off of the property? So shekibel azev, lo kibel azev. So the Gemara says, look, as far as going to a Jewish court, he was totally ready to do that. In terms of putting brakes on the interest, he's not ready to accept that. And again, like I said earlier, he doesn't have to. Tashma, amnas liten lisha ksuva ulabachov chovo bishlam abachov bein mar kidushanina. So the Gemara says, now we have another brisa, and the brisa says, and remember, this was at the beginning of our shiur this morning. The brisa says that under the circumstance where we are auctioning off the property, we're saying, and who is the beneficiary? Why are we selling off the property? And remember, we said earlier, it's helpful for people to know why we're selling off the property and who's receiving the monies. So we said that there are two possible recipients. One is going to be the woman getting her ksuva. The other is going to be a creditor. So over here now, again, Ravas, Rav Yochanan. So what do you say about that, Brisa? So, Bishlam Abachov Beimar Kiddushanina. So as far as the creditor is concerned, so we already gave explanations of who the creditor is. It's an interest-bearing loan, i.e. the creditor is a non-Jew. He's ready to go to the Jewish court, but he's not ready to suspend the interest. Good, we said that already. Alek Suvas Yisha, Alek Suvasa, Bishlam L'Rav Yochanan Nicha L'Rav Asikasha. So again, according to Rav Yochanan, it works out great because he allows the sale of a land to pay off a ksuva. But as far as Ravasi is concerned, that's difficult. Ravasi does not allow the sale of a land for ksuvas isha. So hachabai maizkin and kishachayv moda. So the Gemara says, even according to Ravasi, there are going to be times where we're going to sell off a land for ksuvas isha. Notably, where before the husband slash father died, so he said, and I owe the money. So he readily admits that he owes the money. The only reason why we're not selling off the property is because of concerns, which we haven't even articulated yet, but because of concerns. But if he says before he dies that he owes the money, so now under those circumstances, there is no reason. There is no reservation why we would not sell the property. And so under those circumstances, we would sell the property. Now, so the Gemara says, look, once you introduce this as a possibility, so then all the questions we asked previously, we could just give this very simple answer. Before he died, he had readily admits that he owes the money. And so therefore, we would then sell the property. The Gemara gives us a couple of cases. Meremar allowed for the sale of a property from Yesomim in order to satisfy the ksuva obligation. Okay. Now, she was a grusha. And as we'll see in just a moment, that makes a difference. So Rav Yochanan Omer, O Lishtar Sheish Bo Ribis, O Luxuvas Isha Mishum Mizoni. So when Ravina hears what Amemar did, so Ravina says to Amemar, I'd like to remind you. One is that according to Ravasi, there's no allowance to sell the property of the estate of children unless it is an interest-bearing loan. And even Rav Yochanan, who is more makel, and he'll allow for the sale to satisfy a ksuva, but that's only a ksuva that has mezonos with it. V'afil Rav Yochanan lo kamar elo ba'almana to kamaf sedem mezona. Aval grusha lo. A divorcee is not going to be getting mezonos. Mezonos is only for the widow. The mezonos is not for the grusha. So Ravina says to Amemar, Meremar, under what law did you sell off the property of the children? You had no right to do so. So Amalehanan de Rabbi Yochanan Mishum China Masnisala. So he says, I understood Rabbi Yochanan differently. And that is that I'm selling off the property for Ksuva, and I know it's a grusha, right? He's still alive. So I'm selling off the property not because of the of the mezonos consideration, but because of another consideration, and that's because of chayim. Now, if you've been with us during Suva, so you've heard this expression numerous times. What exactly does it mean? Actually, it's a machlokas rishonim, but I'm going to present this morning like Rashi. Rashi right in our daf. The idea of a woman getting paid a ksuva at the end of her marriage is obviously for her protection. There's a lot of reasons why ksuva is written. Primarily, the Gemara tells us that it gives the husband pause for a moment before he thinks, I got to divorce her. In other words, so that he doesn't make any kind of flippant decision. So, right, it'll disincentivize him from divorcing her right away when he takes into consideration how much money he has to pay. But on top of that also, it's there to provide protection, financial protection for the woman. Meaning in the event of either her husband dies or he divorces her, so now she's going to be in financial straits. So now that she's going to be paying getting paid a lump sum ksuva payment, so that'll give her some sort of financial cushion. Now, imagine that you have a situation in which, right, a woman now is a widow, and she doesn't get paid that quickly, her ksuva payment, right? It gets stuck in courts. And, well, hold on one second, you know, they're children, and we don't collect right now. And then the women are going to be talking, the women are going to say to one another, this ksuva thing is not working. This whole system is not working. And so basically what we want to do is we want to expedite the sale of all properties for the ksuva payment so that the women are generally speaking, more comfortable. Rashi writes basically this. It took me a while to say it. Rashi knows how to speak much more succinctly than I do. Mishum china masnisala. Rashi, kidei shimsu hanashim chen be'enei hanashim. Men are going to be found more favorable in the eyes of women. V'yinasu lehen. And so therefore women are going to marry men much quicker knowing that he's a nice guy, and I'll get paid a lot quicker. So with that in mind, so hilkach afil grushanami. So then, under those, if that's the basis of the sale of the ksuva, so then mezonos no longer is a consideration. Now I know Rav Yochanan reported earlier this morning that he's worried about mezonos, and I guess maybe that could be one of his considerations.
This runs contrary to the principle that women are like so eager to get married that they're willing to.
That's true. Tavla meisav tandu.
Less payment.
Mila meisav armalu. That's true. But also, right? In other words, it's yes and yes. You're right, and there's a money consideration as well. Okay.
In terms of the non-Jew who doesn't accept the interest, so what's going to be? I mean, he doesn't want to wait a month for auctioning. So how are you going to pay?
So what we're going to do is, you're right. It'll take another month of selling the property, but at the same time, however, it'll be 1 month of interest as opposed to years and years of accrued interest. So, but the idea of the auction is that hopefully we're going to fetch a better price. And yes, it's a little bit of a risk because if we sold it right now at the, you know, at the suggested retail price, so then you'll get X. But if you auction it off, you get my X plus Y.
You would be willing to pay the interest to the non-Jew.
Again, he's entitled. In other words, he has.
No, in case of the orphans, you pay the interest to get a higher price.
Yeah.
Now, so in all these cases, it's assumed that the land is going to be sold within 30 days or there is interest. What if there's no interest at all?
So if there's no interest, if there's no interest, so then there's no sale of the land. The land will not be sold. In other words, everything will be held.
The creditor would take the land?
Huh?
The creditor would take the land?
No, the land will not be sold.
So what happens to the creditor?
The creditor is going to wait.
The non-Jew is going to wait, and so it's going to be more than 30 days.
What's the choice?
Okay, again, but if it's interest, then you sell right away. And if there's no interest,
there's no interest, then it takes the land or not? At what point?
No, in other words, they will not sell land until they grow up and they can advocate on their own behalf.
Even in a non-Jew?
I mean, if he's ready to work with the Jewish court, the answer is yes. If he doesn't,
it takes the land or not? That's my question.
I thought the court came up with an initial evaluation.
The court does come up with an initial evaluation, and if the creditor is happy with that number, so then the creditor will take it.
Yeah, so they could take it.
If the creditor is happy with that number. But again, but that.
That's his collateral. It was collateral.
Okay. Okay. Anyway. Okay.
The value might be more.
Okay.
Than
let's. Let's go on, and you can come and discuss it with me after. Amar Rav Nachman. And so again, more in terms of judges and what they do in these regards. So here we're talking about Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman was the judge. I say that because we know that A, he was the Av Beis Din, and on top of that, when it comes to Mamonos, so the halacha very often follows like Rav Nachman. And keep also into mind that Rav Nachman was the Talmud of Shmuel, and by Mamonos, the halacha falls like Shmuel as well. So I say this, and don't take me out of context, but Shmuel and Rav Nachman control the money. Meaning that when it comes to Mamonos, Dine Mamonos, very often the halacha falls like them. And so here's Rav Nachman's position, which is, you'll see, it evolved. So I'm Rav Nachman, Rishon Lohavim, Mizdakin, L'nichta Yasmei. So my original position was I would never sell off properties of Yisamim. That was my initial position. In other words, freeze. Everyone just freeze. And we'll wait till they grow up and they can advocate on themselves. And under no circumstances would I sell. However, Kevin Deshaman Lahad Ravuna Chavreim Shmei Derav Yasmei Da'achle Delo Didhu Lezel Basar Shevkayu. So Mikan Ve'elach Mizdakinan. So, but then I heard a statement said over in the name of Rav, and that's as follows. If I have orphans that are sitting and eating off of properties that are not rightfully theirs. Not rightfully theirs because there's a creditor and he's owed money and there's an outstanding debt. And so this property doesn't really belong to them, meaning to the orphans. And for the orphans who sit there on these properties and eat and enjoy on these properties, so they should basically follow their parents. And that's a harsh statement. And I know it's harsh. But basically, they're stealing. And so it's not right. And so what Rav Nachman says is that from that point going forward, I've changed my position, and I have now a more developed position in my head, which is we're gonna deal with the properties. Now deal with the properties. Mikar my time alone. Now the Gemara goes and explains what he initially thought, and then what his position eventually looked like. Originally, what he thought is as follows: my time alone. I'm sorry, mikar my time alone. Why is it that Rav Nachman would not allow the sale of land? So here now, the Gemara is going to unfurl for us the possible concerns that we may have. One, Amar Papa Prias Balchov Mitzvah V'Yasmin Lav B'nei Mitzvah Lav B'nei Ma'aved Mitzvah Ninu. Now, Rav Papa is not a concern, but rather a principle. And the principle of Rav Papa is as follows. Look, paying off debts, we'll call that a mitzvah. Right? It's the right thing to do. And according to Rav Papa, it's more than just the right thing to do. It falls under the category of mitzvah. What exactly is the mitzvah? So you don't see it over here in our Gemara, but Rashi elsewhere says that basically you got to be true to your word. Yeah, you say you're going to do something, you got to do it, right? That your yes should be a yes, your no should be a no. You should be faithful to your words. And so if you owe money, you should be faithful to the fact that you owe the money. So it's a mitzvah to pay. The children right now in their not only in their orphan state but in their minor state. We're talking about minor children. So under these circumstances, they're lab b'nei mitzvah. Okay, that's Rav Papa. So it's not really, Rav Papa's not really a concern, it's a principle. Rav Huna is a concern. Rav Huna b'rei de Rav Yeshua Amar, Imre, Amar, Sari Atvase. So he's worried like this. That what happened was, is that the creditor knows that his borrower is not doing well. And obviously he is both concerned about the well-being of the borrower, and also at the same time he's also concerned about his money. So he pays him a visit. He comes out of the house. Did he get paid? Meaning, was there not only an exchange of pleasantries, and I hope you feel better, but was there also an exchange of money? So Rav Huna says, well, we don't know, and that's our concern. Our concern is that because of the state that everybody's in, and understood that there's a lot of anxiety, there's a lot of stress, and so what could very well happen is that the borrower paid him right away and didn't take back the note, didn't tear up the note, and that's a possibility, and that's a concern. Now, my benayu yikabenayu kishachayv moda. Now, there's going to be a halachic difference between Rav Papa and Rav Huna. Let's say, for example, right before he dies, he readily admits to his children, I didn't pay the loan. So, under those circumstances, for Rav Papa, the children are still not going to have to pay, because they're ketanim and the lab b'nei mitzvah. As opposed to, according to Rav Huna, we're not worried that the father paid off the loan immediately before he died. He told us he didn't pay. Inami shemtua umeis b'shamte. Or this guy's been a difficult borrower for some time now already. He's been in default on the loan for some time. In fact, Beis Din already put this man in the chayrin. And so we know now that he's been stubbornly refusing to pay the loan. And so he died while still in chayrin. So again, unlikely, super unlikely that he paid the loan before he died. So according to Rav Papa, again, the children don't have to pay because they're ketanim and labnei mitzvah. According to Rav Huna, they do have now an obligation to pay, and Beis Din will take their property. So the Gemara says that a letter was sent from there, meaning probably from Eretz Yisrael, which is that the halacha is that if you die while in Cherem, so the halacha falls like Rav Huna b'Reid Rav Yeshua, which means that we are now pretty sure, we're certain, let's say it clear, we are certain that he did not pay the loan, and so therefore Beis Din can come and do a collection on the property immediately, and we're not going to wait. Tanan, we are now going to do the Amud Beis, and we're going to do it quickly. Now, what we're going to be doing here in the Amud Beis is basically, it's going to be a nice review of what we did in the Amud Aleph. But over here, though, as opposed to using the Mishnayos and the Braisos as to try to prove or disprove Rav Yehuda and Rav Yochanan in terms of who's going to be able to get collected, now we're going to be looking at the same Mishnayos and Braisos in terms of Rav Papa versus Rav Huna. Why we are not so prepared to collect from the estate. Tanan. Shami Yisam and Shoshim Vishim Ha'ektesh Yishim Yom. Umachrizim Baboker Ba'erev. For orphans, 30-day auction. For Hektesh, 60-day auction. And we make announcements both morning and evening. V'mayiskin Yilema Babachova V'kochav Mitzayas. Are we talking about a non-Jew? As far as he's concerned, I need the money. I'd like it now. Your Jewish system, your Jewish legal system, that's good for the Jewish people. I'm not Jewish. So Alapshita Babachov Israel, Bishlam Larav Hunabrader of Yeshua Mukila, Bishakhaiv Moda. Now we're talking about a Jewish lender. So now according to Rav Hunabrader of Yeshua, that's fine. Meaning, why are we selling off the property? Because the father admitted before he died, I owe the money. But El Rav Papa Kasha, but according to Rav Papa, even if the father admitted it, they're Kitanim. And the only reason why they have to pay is because it's a mitzvah, and as a Khan, they're not chayvin mitzvahs. So Amlach Rapapa, Yibai Sem Ksuva Mishumchina, Vibai Seman Babachova, Vikocham Shikibalav Bedun, Bedina Yisrael. I Kibalav Lintarlahu Adigadli Shikibalav Zuva, Lo Kibalav Zu. And so Rapapa in his defense could say one of two things. One, we could be talking about where the creditor is the widow, and the reason why we're going to be selling off the property is because of the mezonos, which is depleting the estate. Or it could be a non-Jewish lender who's charging interest, and he's on one hand ready to go to the Jewish court, but on the other hand, he's not ready to put the interest in abeyance. Tashma. Amnasli ten lishek suva labachov chova b'mayeskinan. Remember the announcement that was made? We're selling off the land either because there's a creditor who wants to get paid or a woman who's going to be getting her paid or ksuva. Now, ilim b'bachov ovikochav mitzayas. So if the creditor is a non-Jew, what does he care about our legal system? Elapshita bebalchov Yisrael, we're talking about where the creditor is the Jew. Bishlam the Rav Huna b'Reider of Yeshua Mukila b'Shechayv Moda. So again, according to Rav Huna b'Reider of Yeshua, where his only hesitation is because maybe he paid, but if he admits he didn't pay, so then we would sell the estate. So Ela Rav Papa Bishlam Ksuva Mishum Chinah. Now, according to Rav Papa, I understand the case of Ksuva. Why are we selling the estate to pay off the Ksuva? So as we explained earlier, Chain, because we want women to know that they will get paid their Ksuva right away. But Ela Bachov Kashia, but according to Rav Papa, what would be the case of the Bachov? Meaning a Bachov is not going to, you're not going to sell the estate of minor children to pay off the Bachov, according to Rav Papa. The only reason why they have to pay is because it's a mitzvah, and they're ketanim. So Lolam Bachov v'kocham v'kagon shekibah alav dom b'din Yisrael. So we're talking about where the Bachov is a non-Jew, but he's ready to go to Jewish court. And he kibah alav linter lehu ad gadle. So why don't they just simply ask him to wait, if we're going to Jewish court, so wait till they grow up. So Shekibah Alav Lezu, V'lo Kibah Alav Lezu. So again, the Gemara's response is the same. He went to a Jewish court. He was ready to go to a Jewish court, but I'm not going to get paid until the kids grow up? No, that much I'm not ready to go, to yield. Okay, so far now, we have two considerations why it is that we're not selling properties of minors to pay off outstanding obligations of the father. One, Rav Papa, because they're ketanim, and ketanim are labnei mitzvah. Two, Rav Huna, that we have a concern that maybe the father paid before he died. Okay, and we already pointed out there are going to be halachic differences between Rav Papa versus Rav Huna. There is a third concern that which the Gemara now introduces us to, and that's Rava. Rava Amar Mishum Shover. The concern is the following, and that is a receipt. Now, the writing of receipts, controversial. Meaning the Gemara Baba Basra has a discussion and a debate in terms of whether or not a lender should be writing a receipt to the borrower to show proof that he paid the loan. If you're not writing a receipt, so then how do you prove that you paid off the loan? That's really simple. You take the note, you tear it up. Okay, but anyway, but there is a position that you do write receipts. And so what Rava says is that maybe what I'm concerned about is that he paid the loan, he's holding a receipt, and right now we don't know where the receipt is. So I'm Rav Huna Breid Rav Yishua the Rava Umi Chayshin L'Shavu V'Atanan Nefrash Lo B'Fana Lo Tipara L'Bishvua. So the Gemara says, well, what do you mean? We know that if a woman is coming to collect her ksuva and her husband's not there, the only way she can collect her ksuva is by making a shvua. She hasn't been paid. V'Amar V'Achar Sar Abir Ma'isa Balifnei Rav Yitzchak Nachal La'Antuchia V'Amar Lo Shanu Lo Ksuva Sisha Mishim China. Yes, it's true, we'll allow a widow to swear in order to collect her ksuva payment. Because again, chayin, and the chayin tells us that we want to make sure the women know that they're going to get paid their ksuva. Fine, so they make a shvua. Ava bachov lo, but we will not allow a bachov to come and to collect. V'rabba amar Rav Nachman afilo bachov nami, and according to Rav Nachman, even a bachov is allowed to get paid his debt as long as he makes a shvua. V'ichai shin l'shover hasam nami nechosh. Now, according to you, Rava, Aren't we concerned about a shover, i.e., the borrower paid, and the lender, even though he's holding a note, at the same time also the borrower had a receipt in his hand. The borrower, now that he died, did not tell the children where the receipts were, and so isn't that a concern? So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you why over there, Rav Nachman is going to be more lenient, because the reason why we are allowing the bachov to collect is because here's what we don't want people to do. We don't want people to borrow money and then skip town. Meaning, if we give no avenue for the lender to come and to recoup his loan when the borrower is no longer around, so then what you're going to do if you are not an ethical person is you'll borrow a lot of money and just skip town. What about your family members? No problem. Meaning they can't come collect from the family members. They can only come collect from me. And so if we don't give an avenue for the lender to be able to collect his loans, so there's not going to be any lending going on. So v'holach v'yoshlo b'medina seyam. Amar Rav Hilchasa. And now the Gemara comes to a conclusion on all this. Hilchasa. Ein is kakel l'nechse yisomim. So as a starting point, when it comes to the estate of minor orphans, so we do not sell the property. Now, if the father said before he died that I want you to pay these obligations, so then we do sell off the property. I know it sounds pretty straightforward and pretty obvious. Okay. So sada zu manazu niskakim ve'mamin ma'apetropos. Now, if the father before he died gave super clear instructions, not only do I want you to pay off this debt, but using this property, and this is the amount. So if the father was super clear, so not only do we sell off the property, but we don't even have to set up any kind of trustee over the estate, because the father's instructions were very clear. However, if the father gave instructions to pay off the debt, but he didn't say how to pay off the debt, so under those circumstances, so now we're going to appoint a trustee, a apotropos, to make sure that the right properties are sold, the amount is correct. Niskalken o ma'amidem apotropos. In the yeshiva in Naradai, this is a ruling that they said, Bekulun is kakin, umamidem apotropos. Under all circumstances, we are going to be selling off the estates in order to satisfy outstanding loans, and we're going to be appointing an apotropos. The only time where we're not setting up an apotropos is if witnesses come and said as follows. Right? It's really unfortunate that the father died, but I'll tell you what's even more unfortunate. Before the father died, he stole a property. And witnesses come and tell us that he stole a property. Under those circumstances now, Beis Din will take the property away, and we're not even going to appoint any kind of representation for the children. No apotropos point is going to be set up. Why? Because if two kosher witnesses come and say that the property was a stolen property, so at that point in time, we don't assume that the witnesses are lying. They just take it away. No, that's it. They just take it away. And they don't even set up an apotropos for the kids. So Rav Ashi's position is that we do not sell the properties. Because Rav says that we don't sell off the properties. Now, under the circumstances where we do, meaning, there are exceptions, meaning, yes, as a rule, We do not sell off the properties of minor orphans, but interest-bearing loans, the ksuv of a woman, chayav moda. We went over a number of exceptional cases where we are going to sell a property. So under those circumstances, v'im is dekinan, mukmin and apotropos. So then we're going to set up some sort of representation, adult representation, on behalf of the children. And the only time that an apotropos is not going to be set up when we're selling off the property of the estate of minor orphans is only going to be under the circumstances where witnesses come forward and say, that property does not belong to the father. That property is a stolen property. And we assume the witnesses are telling the truth. We have no reason to assume the witnesses are lying. By the way, just always good to add the Rambam's point. The Beis Din has to also use common sense, meaning if there is reason to suspect that the witnesses are not telling the truth, so Beis Din has to be ahead of the game in that regard. But under the circumstances where witnesses said that the father stole a property, so then we take that property away from the children. We don't even set up an apotropos for the children. Okay, in recap, we talked today about the auctioning off of properties to sell of minor children to satisfy outstanding obligations of the father, and the ksuva of a woman, which is, again, same, more outstanding obligations of the father. Under those circumstances, we learned about the auction process. If, let's say, we want to see if we can get more money than what was the suggested retail value of the property, so then we're going to go and we're going to auction off the properties. We learned this morning about the auction process. It could sometimes be a 30-day process, a 60-day process. And then we went and spent a lot of time this morning going over the various scenarios in which our default position is that we do not sell off properties of the estate of minor orphans unless, and we went over all the possibilities in which we would do. Interest-bearing loans, the ksuva of a woman, where he readily admits before he died that he owes the money. So under those circumstances, we would, but generally speaking, we do not sell off the properties.